Today's scripture reading is from Mark 6, verses 30 through 34. If you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible, it's on page 1562. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. And then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. The word of the Lord.
The lectionary breaks this, the passage actually up into two parts of John 6. Kristen read the first part. The second part is actually at the bottom of John 6, and it's like 54 through 56, and we're going to talk about that during the sermon. So I'm going to try this clicker, Ashley, see if it works. Hey, oops, I went too far. What's Sabbath? Okay, so let's talk about the Sabbath for a second. The Sabbath, quick definition, anybody got one? The day of rest, right? It's one of the big ten that Moses brought down from the mountain. It's number four, I think. If we click to the next slide. Go ahead, Ashley, you do it. This thing, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now, it's a lot longer than that in Scripture because it talks about the men servants and the women servants that are in the household and all the visitors and everybody keeping this day holy. Whoops, we lost the slide. So anyway, when we keep something holy, that means to set it apart, right? Holy means to set apart. And we're supposed to set time apart, according to Scripture, for a Sabbath. Now, we don't do a real good job of that these days, because we got soccer on Sundays. We've got, you know, football games to watch. We got all kinds of, whatever it is, we got honey-do lists. We got chores around the house. We don't do a real good job at keeping a full Sabbath. So, are we really keeping the spirit of the Ten Commandments? Probably not. But Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples in this particular passage, kind of gave us a new way to look at Sabbath time. Now go to the next slide. So in Mark 30 through 34, which Kristen read for us, we see the disciples coming and telling Jesus about all the great things that they've done. So let's get a little context. What were they telling him? Well, a little bit before in chapter 6, Jesus had sent the disciples out in pairs. He said, take your staff, take one shirt, one pair of sandals, no food, no money, and go out as sheep among wolves, basically, and teach, heal, cast out demons. So here they are coming back to Jesus going, Jesus, look what we did. We healed people. We cast out demons. We did. And Jesus is like, that's good. That's really cool. That's good stuff. But we need to rest now because you haven't had a chance to eat. But Jesus, look at what we did. Slow down. It's great that you did all this stuff, but you need to rest. So let's go out to a desolate place. And he says, come with me, Jesus, to a desolate place. So he's inviting the disciples into a quiet place with God. Because we all know that Jesus is, say it with me, God. Right? Jesus is God. So he's inviting the disciples into a quiet place with God. Why? He says to rest. So Jesus is setting up a sort of new paradigm of work and rest. The old paradigm, and you got to remember that we look back at the time when Jesus was alive and we go, well, it's been 2,000 years. Lots of stuff has changed culturally. Science has gotten better communication, all kinds of stuff, right? Well, you got to remember that from the time that Moses brought the Ten Commandments down off the mountain to when Jesus was preaching was like 1,400 years, 1,500 years. Lots of stuff had changed, right? Technology had changed. Society had changed. Communication had changed. You know, they had domesticated camels now instead of just donkeys. They had all kinds of stuff that had changed. So Jesus is setting up in this new covenant that he's bringing into the world, not a new way necessarily to do Sabbath, but an alternative way to do Sabbath. Jesus didn't ever come to abolish the law. He says that himself. He says he comes to fulfill the law. So in fulfilling the law that is the Sabbath, he gives the disciples this idea of work and rest. And if anybody was here during the time of Pastor Bill Asbell, you might recognize this little diagram here with the pendulum. There's actually a work and a rest cycle that Jesus lived when he was ministering in the world. He would go out and work, and then what would he do? He'd go to a quiet place and pray. He'd go do something, and then he'd go to a quiet place to be with the Lord. He would do something, and then he would, as the song said, abide in the Lord. So Jesus modeled this for his disciples, and this, in this passage, this is what he's teaching them and what he's teaching us. You might have heard me say before, if you've heard me preach, that Mark is the discipleship manual. Mark gets to it quick. If you want to know what Jesus is doing, and what is discipleship anyway? It's looking at what the master's doing and following it, right? If you want to see what Jesus is doing, go to Mark. This takes place in chapter 6 in Mark. It takes till chapter 14 in Matthew to get to this place, right? Mark is bam, bam, bam. He's teaching us, what does Jesus do? What does Jesus want us to do as disciples? And he's setting up this new paradigm of work and rest. But what happened in the passage she read? When they got off the boat, there were all these people waiting. So Jesus said, hey, you guys, we're really tired. Why don't you come back tomorrow? We'll take care of you. No, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus did the work that was in front of him. And that's the other part of this message, is that we're called to do the work that's in front of us. If that work happens to fall on a Sunday, we still do the work that's in front of us, that God laid in front of us. Earlier in the Gospels, Jesus heals a man that has a withered hand on the Sabbath. And he gets ridiculed by the teachers of the law and says, hey, why are you doing this on the Sabbath? And Jesus reminds them that the Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is in place for us to abide in God. Next slide. There's a couple kinds of time. Jesus is talking about setting time aside to rest. There's a couple kinds of time in the Greek word in Scripture. So the first one is Kairos and Chronos. Chronos is probably the one we're most familiar with. Next slide. Chronos is linear time. This is the timeline that you saw in your history books when you were a kid. It's the timeline that goes from, you know, zero year to today. It's the time of the clock. It's what you're looking at right now going, how long is he going to talk? That's Chronos time, right? Chronos time is the time that we mark in our lives special events, anniversaries, birthdays. We mark Chronos time. We use it to time Olympians when they're swimming or running, right? Chronos time is this time that we can't live without. It has established our culture. Kairos time is special time. Kairos time is the kind of time Jesus was teaching his disciples about when he said, come to a desolate place and rest. Kairos time is when we get into the meditative kind of scriptural meditation. When many pastors will open a sermon, and I probably should have done it for illustrative sake here, with, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Now, the word meditation, next slide. When it comes to mind, that's probably what most of you think of when you see when you hear meditation, right? You hear you see the person going, om. That's not the kind of meditation we're talking about. We're talking about a Christian meditation. Next slide. Meditation. This is the kind of meditation we're talking about. Getting into Scripture. Praying over Scripture. Allowing Scripture to fill you with these kairos moments of what is God saying to you. So this kind of Sabbath that Jesus is now teaching his disciples about is a Sabbath of moments. It's a Sabbath of kairos moments, getting close to God. Christian meditation is internalizing Scripture so that its truth can affect how we think, how we act, and how we live. If that's not discipleship, I don't know what is. Discipleship is designed to teach us how to think, act, and live more like Christ. So if we're going to be more like Christ, we should have more time where? In Christian meditation. There's a saying that's in a book that's by Shelley Miller called Rhythms of Rest, Finding the Spirit of Sabbath in a Busy World. And the saying is, pausing for prayerful listening, even for a few minutes, brings everything that's important back into focus. And really, isn't that what we want to have in our rest time? Is something that helps bring our busy day into focus. Something that helps us actually get closer to the Lord. The original Sabbath was so people could take a day off and rest and get closer to God. That's what the Sabbath that Moses was talking about. Getting, you know, resting and getting closer to God. This is moments of Sabbath, which we find ourselves sort of in that kind of motif today. We're busy. You guys are here. Good on you. That's a great start to a Sabbath, getting closer to God. What are we doing here? If you had to classify worship as Chronos or Kairos, what would you say it is? How many say Chronos? Good. How many say Kairos? Better. Because if it's Chronos, you're looking at the clock going, Daryl's talking too long again. If it's Kairos, you're making a connection with God. And what are we supposed to do in worship? Make connections with God. We're here to make connections. We're here to understand what it is God is trying to tell us about our next work. What's the work that God's putting in front of us? Now, when you look at the like I said, the lectionary splits up the passages, and the end of the passage really is more work for Jesus and the disciples. They're sort of rock stars by now, right? Jesus is the headliner, and the disciples just came back from tour, right? They were out there curing people. They were out there, casting out demons. So they're pretty famous in this region. So everywhere they go, people are approaching them for healing. And the last part of Mark 6 talks about every marketplace is filled with people that just want to touch Jesus' cloak. And the ones that do are healed. Jesus never shies away from the work that's in front of him, even when he's tired. How many of you have ever been really tired? We work. We need these Kairos time. We need this Kairos time to reflect on what it is that God really wants us to do. Because sometimes we can work ourselves into doing what we think we should be doing instead of what God really wants us to do. Because we're smarter than God. No, we're not. We are not. So we need these Kairos moments, this Kairos time to hear from God what it is he wants us to do. Many of you know that I'm involved with Praise in the Park in a small way. It's coming up September 15th, mark your calendars. Every year, before we embark on the idea of, are we going to do this again? We get together as a board and we pray for hours. And we have some great intercessors on my board We have folks that are in very charismatic churches, and they will pray the dickens out of that board. But the idea is, we want to know, is it God's will for us to do Praise in the Park again? Because you can get really caught up in the momentum of a movement. Right now, we're trying to understand whether or not tiny homes is the thing we should be doing for this entire valley, and getting churches from around the valley involved in helping the community with transitional housing. We can get really caught up in that idea and go, this is great. We can start running and running and running, and before we know it, we're running for us and not for God. So every step of the way in the tiny home process, we're praying over it. We're saying, Lord, what is your will? Lord, where do you want us to be? In the PNC, sometimes these Kairos moments, these times, aren't even complete rest. Sometimes it's just stepping away from a process for a moment. Eric and Robin each had a couple weeks away from the PNC. They weren't just resting. You heard Robin. She was working her tail off with a bunch of, you know, kids doing vacation Bible school. Eric was off getting, you know, recognized for his scholarly attributes and getting money for his PhD. There are a lot of things they were doing. They weren't just resting, but they stepped away from the PNC process for a couple weeks, and when they came back, they were reinvigorated. Right? They had energy for the process. The rest of us were going, again? We're still at it? You know? And we've only been at it a year. The prior PNC was at it for like, what, almost 2 years? 18 months at least? So it's a process, and we're getting there. If I had to describe where we are with the PNC, Susan described it to me earlier today. We're sort of between third base and home, and we're caught in a rundown. Right now we're caught in the rundown, and we're waiting to see who drops the ball, to see if we're going back to third or we're going home, you know. But the good news is, we're not still at first or second, right? We are ready to score. So anyway, I don't know how I worked in a PNC update into the sermon. That was pretty good. All right, so just pausing from a process can be sort of a Sabbath too. Next slide, please. In between the parts that are in the lectionary, Jesus doesn't do much. He just feeds 5,000 people. That's the folks that were waiting for them on the other side of the lake, right? He feeds the 5,000 people. Then he does another little thing. Next slide. He walks on water. Because as he dismisses, you know, he says, getting ready to dismiss the 5,000 people, he's going to do what? He's going to go up and pray by himself like Jesus does. So he sends the disciples on ahead of him. And then he walks out to them on the water. So just a couple little miracles happen in between our passages. And the next slide. So in the lectionary, like I said, it goes on to do 54 through 56. And like that is when they're really back at work again. So this really encapsulates the idea that you do the work that's in front of you. Right? Jesus is saying, rest when you can, but do the work that's in front of you. So if you're taking things away from this sermon today, two things. Rest when you can, and rest in such a way that it's fruitful rest. And I know that sounds like an oxymoron because you're doing work during rest, but it's not real work. What you're doing is you're listening for God in those Kairos moments. You listen for God. What is the next work that he wants you to do? Because in Mark 54 through 56, they're back at work again. So the other part of the sermon is, do the work that's in front of you. But the work that's in front of you, make sure that you have had that restful time to ensure it's from God, that it's God work. Jesus healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. He didn't go out and plow a field because he wanted new grapes. He did God's work. So make sure it's God's work that's in front of you. Next slide. Okay, I've got some news for you guys. You remember a couple weeks ago I compared you guys to the Macedonian churches? And I said, you guys set the standard. You guys set the bar. When Paul was comparing the Macedonian churches to the churches of Corinth, he was saying, these, you guys, the Macedonian churches are they're up here, right? You guys, up here. I said we did an experiment. We were doing an experiment on the lectionary. We're also doing an experiment with attendance. We started a 10 a.m. service in April, and we thought it's going to go till end of August. So we thought, let's check some numbers and see how we're doing. Okay, I want you to look at this. The light purple is 2017. The dark purple, when we were at 9:30, the 2018 is this year, the dark purple, and we have increased our attendance anywhere from 4 to 7 people every week after going to the 10 o'clock service. And for various reasons. I mean, there's some people that have mobility issues, they can't get here at 9:30. There's people that have transportation issues. There's folks with young kids that the 10 o'clock service is easier for them to get to. There's various reasons. But the idea is that more of our family, because look around, stand up, look around. Don't yet stand up, but look around you. This is your family. This is your church family. And more of your family is coming to Sunday service and getting an opportunity for Kairos moments. So if you're a person that prefers the 9:30 service, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But I would ask that you kind of look at the model of Dennis and Annabelle in their marriage. They've had to do some compromising to stay married as long as they have. Annabelle's laughing. She's like, yeah. You know it. So, you know, if you prefer the 9:30 service, you might think about it and say, you know, it looks like more of our family's coming. And look at the best part. This is where I say you guys set the bar. That far right-hand column, that's the national average for a church in our demographic size. 89 folks. And where were we? Even at our low point was 104 last year. We blow the national average out of the water. The best part is the next slide. As a percentage of membership that comes to Sunday service, look at the national average, 51%. Look at us at our low point this year, 72%. We're blowing the national average away as a percent of members that come to church on Sunday. You guys are the Macedonian churches. You guys are the ones setting the bar. The problem with setting the bar is you need to stay there. And that takes what? Work. God puts the work in front of us. We do the work that's in front of us. Sometimes that's showing up to church, which you guys do really, really well. And you get those Kairos moments. Now, if you're interested in getting more Kairos moments, Sunday school is happening. Robin's going to tell us all about her trip. You can get some more ideas there for Kairos moments. Sometimes Kairos moments don't happen in the desolate places. Anybody here an extrovert? Any extroverts? No? Dennis? Devon? Some extroverts? We have a really hard time finding Kairos moments in silence because we don't like silence that much. But a Kairos moment can happen in the park as you're walking to get coffee. Ask Ann Johnson. Is Ann in here today or is she downstairs? Ask Ann Johnson about the Kairos moment about taking the park that's right behind us and recouping that for Christ. And going out there as a church, as a family, and doing something as simple as saying hello to the people that are using Todos Santos Park. You'd be amazed at how much hello can open up a conversation. Tony, raise your hand, Tony. Tony and Mike started coming to the church because I was walking through the park and Tony saw my cross and he went, I like your cross. Right? Little things. Just being out in the world, out of these pews, being outside, taking on those Kairos moments when God puts work in front of you, saying yes and doing it. Okay, so who shows up to church on Sundays? FPCC does, right? And good on you. Good on you. It's worth it. Yeah, go ahead, clap. Yeah. You guys are setting a bar that is it's very much appreciated, and I think it's time to pray a little bit before we go into the next part of the service. Heavenly Father, thank you for being here today. Thank you for providing your thoughts and your words to the sermon. Lord, I pray that you would Let these words be pleasing. Let the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. And that you would take what we've learned today and help us to really, really get deep with you in Scripture to find out what the next piece of work is you have in front of us. And give us the opportunity when we're done working to rest, Lord, and rest in you so that we are continuing to hear your word. In your Son's powerful name we pray. Amen.